Works and Infrastructure. Now, there are people who have looked at the current bill as we know it and have some concerns. Claudette Dutilieu, I hope that's correct, Dutilieu, Senior Associate at Dispute Resolution, Cliff Dicker, Hoffmeyer Inc. How do you say your surname, Claudette?
Hi, it's Mello. It's DTO.
DTO. Okay. Lovely to meet you, Claudette. What are your concerns with the current bill?
Well, look, there are quite a few concerns. We've recently published an article and we had a webinar discussing some of these points, and obviously they're not extensive. They're quite glaring points in respect of bondholders, as well as expropriation without compensation. If I can just extend that quite briefly. Section 12.3 of the Expropriation Bill, and I think this is what everyone is talking about, it's this expropriation without compensation. It lists various ways within which people or property can be expropriated without compensation, but there's a very minor line that is overlooked, and it says not limited to, including but not limited to. And this is very worrying because, you know, we would definitely want to see specific examples within which no compensation could be provided on expropriation. We don't really want this to be limitless. I think that as a first starting point is quite glaring.
What could the other be?
Well, that's what the legislature needs to decide. You know, we don't want expropriation to be abundant throughout South Africa. We don't want it to limit our constitutional rights. At the moment, the government is trying to perform a balancing act, which is between our individual constitutional rights as well as its objectives in redress of land reform. And we don't want that to limit our constitutional rights unconstitutionally. And I think by providing that very small term, that including but not limited to, definitely extends that beyond the bounds of Section 36, which is limitation of our constitutional rights.
Claudette, you're going to have to help us. By way of example, what could the what could the other be? I'm just trying to think of through. What could the other be?
Well, so say for instance, one of the terms recorded in the bill is that the expropriating authority can possibly expropriate land that is not in use. And look, obviously, they would have to follow due process and serve a notice of expropriation on the owner. Thereafter, you know, attempt and decide whether or not that expropriation needs to take place without compensation.
Sure.
Now, the other would be, say, for instance, you know, you know, people owning two pieces of separate land, that the primary residence can't be expropriated, but say, for instance, their second property could be expropriated. And I think this is the cause of concern for quite a lot of people. And that's definitely not addressed in the bill. And I wouldn't foresee it to be addressed in the bill. I think it just needs to be curtailed in order to meet our constitutional rights, firstly. Secondly, not to limit them unconstitutionally. And thirdly, just to give the public a little bit of satisfaction. And I think we're all pretty concerned regarding this bill, and just to make sure that it's not limitless in its limiting of our constitutional rights.
Okay, that's the one issue. Another example of what concerns you about this draft bill.
Another thing is in respect of bondholders. Now, it's both on the bondholder side as well as the financial institution side as a mortgagee. First of all, and what the primary cause of concern is financial institutions are not properly defined in accordance with the expropriation bill. So this is, say, for instance, a banking institution that holds a bond over a property. Now, we're starting off with that. First of all, that they're not properly defined. And secondly, the date on which the transfer of the property is taking place is very worrying in this bill. So in accordance with our legislature at the moment, once it's registered in the deeds office, once the transfer has taken place, that is when ownership vests either in the state, which it is expropriating, or alternatively, the individual on whose behalf the state is expropriating the land for. Now, in this bill, it seems to provide the expropriation date is the date on which ownership vests. And now we know that ownership normally vests only on transfer in the deeds office.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've got a bit of a worrisome situation where a bond is concerned,
mm-hmm.
because even though Section 18 does stipulate a mortgagee as a somewhat of a right holder in respect of the property,
mm-hmm.
they don't go as far as to say that the expropriating authority needs to specifically address mm-hmm. this with a financial institution.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have a situation where, say, for instance, that the proposed compensation for the land is less than what the bond is on the property.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's unfair to both the bondholder as well as the financial institution, because this compensation needs to be decided between all three parties, being the expropriating authority,
mm-hmm.
the bondholder,
mm-hmm.
as well as the financial institution.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, that underlying agreement needs to be provided for, because
mm-hmm.
A, if the compensation is not enough to fulfill the underlying agreement,
who covers
the financial,
that?
The financial institution has no security because the property has been transferred.
Mm.
And secondly, where does leave the bondholder?
Mm.
You know, this land has been expropriated without, you know.
Makes perfect sense. I mean, Claudette, I mean, do you anticipate that the financial institutions are going to be sending themselves their own submissions? I mean, that would make sense to me.
Definitely. Mm. I think it's a major cause for concern, and the starting point is they're not properly defined.
Yeah.
So you've got registered right holders in terms of the expropriation bill, which is an owner. It doesn't specifically say a bond, a mortgagee, which it should, and also unregistered right holders. But we foresee that financial institutions do not fall in that category.
Mm.
And they need to, in order to protect the bondholder as well as the financial institution, they need to give proper definition and adequate procedure in respect of that.
Thank you so much for that. I think there will be a lot of discussions around this. We've got some time, so we'll come back with you, Claudette, so that we can iron out some other issues that we have to be very, very aware of, because I think it's in our own interest to make comments that are, you know, informed and so on. So we will be calling upon you. Thank you so much for this, and
thanks
for your
Camilla.
Time. Thank you, Claudette Dittelieu, who is a senior associate at Dispute Resolution Cliff Decker Hofmeyer Inc. And let me take a quick break. I'll be back with more.